Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining this broadcast, we're listening to Lawrence Wright talk about his latest book, which reports on the Church of Scientology. And at this point, he's talking about how the Church of Scientology managed to obtain their religious status from the IRS.
So how did the Church of Scientology go about acquiring that exemption? Well, they began by launching a series of lawsuits against the IRS, 2,400 against the IRS and individual agents. They hired private detectives to follow agents. They even followed them to conventions and to see who was drinking too much or fooling around on the road. Then they would write about those episodes in their own magazine. So intimidation, forceful responses to the IRS, and the IRS was brought to its knees. It was really overwhelmed by this cascade of lawsuits. But there was the problem the church still had. It owed $1 billion. So both of these entities were at loggerheads. And one day, David Miscavige was here. He's the current head of the church now. And he was having lunch with Gerald Pfeffer, who's one of the attorneys here in Washington, along with his wife, Monique Yingling, who represent the Church of Scientology. And they were having lunch at the Bombay Club. And Miscavige was with his deputy, Marty Rathbun, and he suddenly said to Pfeffer, "Look, I've had enough of this. Marty and I are going to go over to the IRS and talk to Fred Goldberg, the IRS commissioner, right now." And the lawyers were kind of stunned. But indeed, they jumped in a cab and they went to 1111 Constitution Avenue and walked in and said, "We're from the Church of Scientology and we want to see the commissioner." Well, the commissioner wasn't really available that very moment, but he quickly was. They had an interest in getting this resolved as well. Now, there may be good merit for the reason the IRS made the distinction that the Church of Scientology is a bona fide religion. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what standards they use to determine a religion. But in any case, the circumstances, the trade-off, was that the suits stopped and the exemption was granted. And once that happened, the vast privileges and protections of the First Amendment guarantees of religion surrounded the Church of Scientology and protected it until this day. So those events all took place in Washington, D.C., and I thought I would just give you a little bit of historical background before inviting you to respond with some questions. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. Thank you so much for coming. Can you speculate as to the future for David Miscavige? He seems to be such an abusive person to several of the people in hierarchy and several of his ordinary people that have helped him for so many years. Can you speculate?
Yes, I'd be happy to talk about that. I'm not the first to talk about this, but I've had 12 people tell me that David Miscavige physically assaulted them. I have more than 20 witnesses. He wasn't the only one inside the church that was beating people up, but he was the head of the church and a church. And it's quite remarkable to think that, you know, that kind of behavior can go on. Moreover, people that were, some of the people who were beaten and others were confined. There are re-education camps, they're called Rehabilitation Project Force, or RPF, in different locations. But especially in this desert compound in Southern California called the Gold Base, which is where the Sea Org, the clergy of Scientology, has its headquarters, a 500-acre compound. And on that compound, there are two double-wide trailers that are married together. And at one point, Miscavige decided that he was going to start sending some of his top-level executives there for kind of re-education. And all the furniture was taken out. They slept on the floor on sleeping bags. They were only allowed out once a day for a shower in the garage. And during that period of time, they're supposed to query each other about what their crimes are, what's going wrong. Well, I'll tell you what went wrong inside that. There was a lot of physical confrontation. There was a lot of abuse. More than 100 people at one point, really the entire top tier of Scientology management, was confined in this. This has gone on for years. Like the nominal president of the church, Heber Jinch, an elderly gentleman, and my friend John Burnett could tell you stories about having interviewed him years ago, but he's perhaps because of the way he treated John, he's been locked up for 7 years. Now, I speak as an amateur here about tax law, but my understanding of a 501c3 is it, at least the one that the church was given, there are layers of accountability. There has to be responsibility along the line. You know, one entity is accountable to the next. But when you have one individual who can put all the other individuals into a double-wide trailer for years on end, I don't know that you can say that there's any other individual than David Miscavige who has any power inside the Church of Scientology. I think the church is at a crisis point in its future. If it is headed for a reckoning, and if David Miscavige is not willing to come forward and confront his accusers, then people in the church have a responsibility, I think a moral responsibility, to address those abuses. And I particularly charge the celebrities who have been used to promote Scientology with that duty, because nobody else has done more to bring people into Scientology. They have a definite responsibility to understand what's going on there. Thank you.
Thank you.
In 1989, the U.S. Supreme Court in Hernandez versus the IRS ruled that the basic form of fundraising, the fixed donation, was not a income tax deductible item. In October of 1993, Fred Goldberg, evidently it's been alleged independently of the exempt organization of the IRS, which normally gave tax exemptions, overruled the U.S. Supreme Court and gave them that tax deduction. How in the world can the IRS overrule a judgment of the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, you're obviously better qualified to answer that than I. But one thing I would say, you know, when they gave that exemption, they also awarded the church the power to determine which of its own entities are tax exempt. And I've been seeking that power myself. Another thing that they have is that, you know, Hubbard wrote innumerable novels. Those are also tax exempt. They have nothing to do with the church's scripture, but according to the IRS, this capacious judgment that was given to the church, all of that falls under the jurisdiction of religious literature.
Heber Jinch, before he disappeared, had indicated against, evidently publicly, that they had spent $1 million in investigating the IRS before that was given.
Yeah.
Who follows up on something like that? Where in the structure do we follow up with something like that?
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, when you have a situation like that, it's an ideal place for an investigative reporter to go in and say, now what gives here? You know, that I had many of the same questions that everybody has about Scientology. I think the windows need to be opened, and I've tried as much as I possibly can to crack them open. I got very little cooperation from the church itself. But I think awareness in the public and demands of public officials that we know more about it are called for.
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Trim the rot, are you ready to be shot? Do we want a war? Anybody listening? Haven't we learned anything? What's the point of killing when it hasn't worked before? before the final culture clash, before this fragile piece is smashed, before we all do something rash. Back it up. Situation simmer, nothing to consider. Implications of a war, nobody will win. Fundamental chaos, fighting for the right to use God's name and everything related to the cause. Everybody, everybody breathe. Everybody, everybody believe. Before we step right off the edge, before we are at war, is it? Before we start to count the dead, back it up.
Everybody breathes, everybody believes.
We elect the ones who choose how many they're prepared to lose. Put in power, supposedly, to rescue us from death's decree.
Everybody breathes, everybody believes.
Theological debate collapses into racial hate. Faith has made us dumb and blind to the future of mankind. We all breathe, we all bleed, we all share the basic needs. Draft by color, place of birth, you're on this team, so pray it works. Racial hate. Faith has made us dumb and blind to the future of mankind.
Everybody breathes.
Ask not
everybody
what your country
breathes.
Can do for you.
Everybody breathes.
Ask what you can do for
everybody
your country.
Breathes.
Watch the camera on the world, keeping you and me involved. Being fed what to believe, with no control of what we see.
Everybody breathes. Everybody. Everybody breathes. Everybody. Everybody breathes. Everybody. Everybody breathes. Everybody.
Everybody.
Yes, sir. Oh, you're Emily, please.
Have you personally been intimidated by Scientology? This may be apocryphal, you may know. I heard that probably 15, 20 years ago, a Time reporter who wrote a big story for them had to change his name because his life became so intolerable. I know they prevented fear prevented the publication of your book in England. And my second part of my question is, you know, with this talking about people being, people disappearing and being held against their will, where is the Justice Department? Why isn't another branch of government looking into it?
Let's see if I can go through. You'll have to remind me if I don't hit every point here. But I've just had innumerable legal letters. I'm not intimidated by them. You know, my last book was about Al Qaeda, but one thing I've learned, you know, Al Qaeda doesn't have any lawyers, and if they did, they'd be a really dangerous organization. The UK, yes, it's true. My British publisher backed out, and It shows several things. One is that my American publisher, Alfred A. Knopf, has a lot of courage and is willing to withstand all these kind of shots across the bow that we've been receiving. And I'm very grateful to have that kind of support. I've been asked by PEN, the International Writers Organization, to go to Britain and talk to members of Parliament and the Minister of Justice about their libel laws, which are foreclose, in many cases, the flow of information to people who might really need the information about an organization that could be very dangerous. So I understand the stance of the Brits on this kind of thing, but we're going to try to do what we can to change it. And I am hoping to find another British publisher who's willing to do that. Now, was there something else, Emily, that I...
Justice of the Justice.
Oh, okay. While I was doing my story for The New Yorker, I stumbled over an FBI investigation, and their line of attack was human trafficking. Typically, this has to do with prostitution or something, you know. But in this case, two FBI agents in the LA office who specialized in human trafficking were looking into the gold base and what the circumstances, you know, people being held against their will, children being recruited into that organization at really young ages and taken out of school and pushed into heavy service and impoverished by their service. These are all questions the FBI had. But the court ruled in one of the notable lawsuits that these are religious practices. And this is religious discipline in the terms of the church. And the FBI ran up a white flag. So, but they gotten as far, according to one of my sources, they were thinking of doing a raid on the gold base, which is a pretty, you know, I mean, it's got high fences and motion detectors, and it's, you know, pretty formidable. But they were going to break in and go into the hole and open the door and liberate everyone. And some of my, and they got so far as to think that David Miscavige would try to escape in Tom Cruise's airplane. So they got the tail numbers on Tom Cruise's airplane to make sure he didn't get away. But what my sources told the FBI, if you were to break open and open the doors of the hole and say you're free, people would say, we're here of our own will. And that's why the subtitle of this book is The Prison of Belief, because it's their will that holds them there more than any other thing. Yes, sir?
I was wondering if in your research you came across a dollar amount that Hubbard set out of what would be needed to defeat Lord Zeno. Like, it seems that there's always money coming in, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, you know, there is a lot of money in Scientology. When Hubbard left the church, they didn't have that much money. He had a lot of money. A lot of money was transferred to his individual accounts. When they had that huge liability to the IRS, they just didn't have that much money in their coffers. Now they do. They do have, according to former members, $1 billion in liquid assets and offshore accounts. Now, the IRS, I mean, the Catholic Church would have a hard time coming up with $1 billion in cash. That's a lot of money for a small organization. It's a testament to the devotion of the members and the avidity of the fundraisers in that church to be able to amass that amount of money. Whether or not they have money or, you know, lawyers and as they have, what they really need is members. And the future of the church is going to depend on its ability to actually bring people into the church. And I think in that regard, they're really failing.
Very interesting. I wanted to know, are there other movie stars other than Tom Cruise that have become involved in this? And any thoughts as to why movie stars might be attracted to? And many years ago, growing up in another country, I had a friend whose brother disappeared into a ship, a boat. It was, do people still disappear into this organization? And is there no legislation at all to try to stop these characters?
Let me start with the ship. In the mid-60s, Hubbard created a little Scientology armada. and they sailed the Mediterranean and then the Caribbean. And the young people that he hired to be their crew, the, you know, young Scientologists, were called the Sea Org, the Sea Organization, or, you know, but that became the clergy. And if your friend went into that, he probably became a member of the Sea Org and may have gotten closeted in one of their compounds, and you, they're not encouraged to deal with the outside world. So that might be what happened. Now, as for celebrities, the Church of Scientology was designed for celebrities. It was founded in Los Angeles. The Celebrity Center is there in Hollywood. It's one of the major landlords in all of Hollywood. And early on, the church published a list of prospective celebrities for the Church of Scientology. Hubbard wanted exemplary figures who would be pitchmen for his religion. And the names on the list were like Bob Hope, Walt Disney, Marlene Dietrich. I mean, you know, there's a long list of the, you know, some of the most notable people in America in the 50s. And people did go in. Gloria Swanson, for instance, the former silent movie star, who then came back in such glory in Sunset Boulevard. But she joined the Church of Scientology. Rock Hudson made a brief appearance in the church in those early days. There are some other names that are not as current today, but Stephen Boyd and so on, Karen Black.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold.
More from Great Speeches and Interviews after these messages.